In a living center in beautiful Tucson, Arizona today, Dr. Randy Carlson, welcome to the show. If you're new to intentional living, we just powerfully and we've observed in the lives of people believe that when we choose to pursue a life as God intended, our lives are better and the lives of those we love will be better. And we're going to talk about one area that can be a big fat stumbling block to that, and that's worry. W-O-R-R-Y, worry. Worry is something that is pervasive, and the question is, what is the solution for worry? Is there a solution? And we're going to talk about that specifically. We're going to get down to where we really live, and then ask the question, too, why do some people seem to worry more than others? And it has very little to do maybe with how much faith they have or trust in God. Just seems like some people, que sera, sera, don't worry as much as others. How do we deal with all that? Dr. Randy, come on into the Intentional Living Center today. We got some calls we're going to get to, and here's what I'd like to have you all join in our conversation is, how are you being intentional with worry in your life? How are you being intentional with worry in your life? What do I worry about? Listen, we got a lot of things to think about and worry about potentially in our culture today. What's going on in the Middle East? We're going to have war or not? Maybe you're worried about your health. You're waiting for that diagnosis, or you have something you're just putting off, talking to the doctor about. You worry about your kids, whatever they are doing or not doing. You know, worry is something that we can face every day. And I have to identify with what C.S. Lewis wrote. He says, listen to this. He said, some people feel guilty about their anxieties or worries and regard them as a defect of faith. But he goes on to say, but no, they're afflictions, not sins. Like all afflictions, they are if we so take them or share in the passion of Christ. What he's saying is like the Apostle Paul to a certain extent who had thorn in the flesh, he had to learn to deal with that in his life. You all know somebody, and I do too, who love the Lord and they're Christians, but they just struggle with being a worrywart. I do. I worry about things. I love the Lord, and I know all the verses, and I'm going to teach you some of them today. But I still worry about my grandkids and my kids what's going on in the world today, and each of them in different places in the world today, and the struggles they have in the world today. And so when the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4, by the way, he's in the middle of a potential worry problem. He's in prison, right? And he says, rejoice and worry about nothing. Come on, Paul. Were you having just a good day when you wrote that? I mean, come on. Seriously. Worry about nothing, he says. But listen, he goes on to give us really, and it's the spiritual and practical solution for dealing with worry. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Okay, we want you to join in. Maybe you can share a verse, your favorite verse that's helped you change your mind to deal with worry in your life, or maybe something else that helps you deal with worry in your life. Let's talk. 888-888-1717.
My go-to verse is from 1 John 4:18, and it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love.
My go-to word is like an emergency 911, and it is Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
John 14:27 is, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.
Boy, clinging to the scripture is really important when you have worry. And, you know, I'm thinking of one of the news stories today. In fact, over the weekend is really close to home here in our city of Tucson, our headquarters for Intentional Living. In fact, just about 3 miles from where I'm seated right now. If you followed the news at all over the weekend, you know that Savannah Guthrie, who is the morning host on the Today Show on NBC TV, well, she's from Tucson, grew up here in Tucson, at the University of Arizona, and her mom, Nancy Guthrie, lives here, active in her church, teaching Bible study over a lifetime. And so it's right here. And if you turn the news on and you've heard, and I haven't heard the latest in the last 10 minutes, but she was taken from her home, 84-year-old woman. The sheriff here in the county says sharp as a tack, so not dementia, just taken right out of her home, apparently, in the middle of the night. And of course, it's on national television, and here locally, it's a great concern as everyone is trying to do their best to bring her back. And I know the family has been asking for prayer. Isn't that interesting? And they're worried. They must be. And we've been caught into this story as well, just living here, just miles from this, and reminded we need to pray for the Guthrie family and for her safe return. And maybe in these daylight hours today, we'll get some good news. But to ask a family going through something like that not to worry, I mean, you think, how do you deal with that in your life? And of course, the request for prayer. And of course, we do and have prayed for them, and we encourage others to do the same. But that's one story of many going on in the lives of people all over the country. We got listeners today in Minneapolis. You got things going on you're concerned about. We think about the world, the conditions in the world. You have things in your own family. How do you deal with this? And the Apostle Paul is not silent on this. He gives us a really powerful truth. And I don't want us to lose the truth that we get from Scripture on really what the solution is for this thing of worry for a follower of Christ. And it's not an easy thing. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I struggle with this. So this isn't sort of like push a button and the worry's gone. But the solution remains the same. I'm going to get to that in a couple of minutes, all right? Love to have you join in. How have you dealt with worry in your life, or a verse that's encouraged you? And hopefully by the end of this half hour, we've helped some of you turn the corner at least a little bit in your own minds. And I agree with C.S. Lewis. This isn't always just an issue that you don't have enough faith. I know a lot of people don't have any faith. They don't seem to worry about anything. And other people have a lot of faith, and it still can be something we wrestle with. This is a condition that we can struggle with in life. It's just part of the human condition. So come and join us. 888-888-1717 is the number. Colette is in Arizona. Hi, Colette. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good, Randy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Appreciate your call. How have you dealt with worry? What's going on? How do you deal with it?
Okay, well, I'm 75 years old now, and I used to worry a lot and was sick all the time from the worry. I have learned now to say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you. I'm putting it at your feet. You handle my worries today, and I will just go on and be your servant for the rest of the day. I pray that every morning, so this way that my worries are given to God and I don't have to deal with them.
So what happens when one of your worries actually crops up and happens?
You know, I think about it for a little while, and then I turn around and give it to the Lord, because I say, if I keep it with me, I end up with my stomach being bad and everything else. Yeah. And I've learned that over the years that it's not worth that. You know, I just pray to God, and like I say, you know, they say put it at, you know, bring it into my feet, and I do that.
Absolutely.
You know, because. Yeah, I guess because for the age that I am, I've learned over the years not to. And other than that, really, I don't listen to the news. All I do is listen to the station 24 hours a day. I don't.
Smart lady.
When you guys tell me things like this, I'm going to pray for these people.
Right. And that's why I share. Many of you may not. That's just one story. Many, many stories. And you're right. We need to protect ourselves from loading our minds with things which will take us down the wrong path. By the way, we're not talking about covering your head and not being involved in what's going on in the world. We need to stay in touch, but at the same time, it can overtake us. It really can. And there's something about years, Colette. Sometimes we gain some wisdom and realize we worried about things that didn't happen. We know the research is clear on that as well. All right, Kim, you're in Michigan. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Dr. Randy?
Terrific. What do you think? How have you deal with worry? What's your take?
Well, I used to worry quite a bit, and I recognized that my mother did as well, and so did my grandmother, and they had all sorts of health issues, and I was starting to get those health issues as well. And then I started listening to intentional living, and I thought, you know what, I can be intentional about this and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I started just focusing on that, if a thought would come into my mind and I would start to be anxious about it, I would just take it captive and say, Lord, is this of you? Is this something I need to worry about? And of mm-hmm. course, he would say no.
That's right.
And I just found that just by doing that, it has helped me. And it's not to say that worry doesn't still pop up. It does. But each time it does, I have to stop and think, where is this worry coming from? It's not from God. God doesn't give me that worry. He gives me peace. And so once I recognize that, then I can just take a few deep breaths and say, you know what? I really don't need to worry about this. I'm not really trusting God if I'm worrying about how I can handle it.
That's good, Kim. Excellent.
So I just take that thought captive every time.
Yeah, that's by the way, that's a Bible verse, folks. Take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. You know, I think about worry. It's sort of like an idling engine in a hot day in Tucson when it's 120 degrees in the middle of summer. And if you sit there and idle long enough, in other words, you're not taking any action, you're not doing anything, you're just sitting there idling. Worry is sort of like that, and overheats the engine. And eventually it's damaging. Let me take it a step further, Kim. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4, here to me is really the solution for a Christian, for those of us who are followers of Christ, to practice. These are the kind of intentional habits we can develop. Paul says, don't worry about anything. And he's writing from prison, by the way. You know, he's not at a resort on the Mediterranean overlooking a beautiful sunny day. He's in prison in chains, and he says, don't worry about anything, but instead, here it is, pray about everything. Of course, that comes up, doesn't it? Let's pray for these folks. Let's pray for this need. That's important. We need to pray about it. It goes on to say, tell God what you need. The word supplication is used in the New King James Version. Supplication is more than just telling God, it's begging. It's really saying, Lord, I need you. I am so worried about my kids. I'm worried about our country. I need you. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and say, and then thank him for all that he's done. There's a switch in our head that occurs. I really think, Jennifer, there's a switch that occurs in our head. We're saying, Lord, I need you, but I want to be thankful too. Look at all that you've done. Look at who you are, all the creation. We change our mind. We're taking captive this truth. And then Paul says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds, guard your hearts and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. He doesn't stop there either. He goes, this is really interesting. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix those thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about such things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We just had Colette tell us, Kim rather, from Michigan, take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. That's one of my life verses, Philippians 4:8. We got to get our thinking straight. We got pothole thinking. Like we're riding along and then bam, our mind goes into a pothole. Think on about things which are excellent and worthy of praise. But then he goes on in verse 9, he says, now keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then, he says it again, then the God of peace will be with you. So Christian, brother and sister, you're worried today. You don't sit in your pile of worry and just pray. Or just thank God. Those are important. But to the extent possible, do something. Paul is saying practice what we teach. In other words, if there's something going on that you're worried about, that you have some, quote, control over, work on it. If you're worried, let me be really practical with you. If you're worried about your money, do something about it. If there's some things you can do to be a better steward of the finances, to the extent that you can do something, do something. If you're worried about your kids, to the extent that you have, quote, any control over them, depending on what age and so on, practice what the Bible teaches in love and respect and do what you can. But then there's a point where you cross over into the line of saying, Lord, I have no control over this. And the Serenity Prayer is a beautiful prayer that my dad used to have on his wall. He's in heaven now. He had it on the wall behind his desk. He said, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference as we deal with worry in our life. Paul says, pray, be thankful, ask God, and do what we tell you. Do what the Bible says. That's intentional living. Figuring out what pleases Christ and then doing it and then giving everything else to the outcomes to God, because ultimately we don't have a lot of control over much. But to the extent that we do those things that honor Him. All right. Quick break. We'll be back. You can join us. What's something you've learned? A verse, a thought, a practice, intentionally or otherwise. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
But you know, there's a point where we all make a decision about our life, about how we're going to live our life, and the decisions we're going to make about food and about our words and about our health and about our work effort and our priorities. Does the scripture have anything to say about habits? Well, not directly. I don't find a passage that speaks directly to habits. But I do have a verse here and a little passage from the book of James that I think gets very, very close to reminding us of the power of habits in our life. James, in James chapter 1, verse 13, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, and isn't temptation a big part of habit formation? We're tempted. It's what we do with the temptations. We all get temptations. Come on, guys, there's temptations everywhere. Ladies, there's temptations everywhere. How do we respond to temptations? James says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each one, listen, each one is tempted when he's drawn away. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like we're getting off the path. James says, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
A lesson on how to, biblically, what do we do with habits and how they fit into our life as a follower of Christ. The word habit is never really found in Scripture, but we do discover in Scripture the words like discipline and obedience and other, and really we're talking about developing the kind of spiritual and life habits that help us be intentional in our relationship with Christ. The lesson this month on our member exclusive area of our site is designed to be an encouragement to you. And so members, check it out at theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. New members, we'll give you the code as well. Your ongoing support makes a huge difference. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. According to the results of a 2024 American Psychiatric Association mental health poll, 43% of adults say they feel more anxious in 24 than they did in 23. And I bet if that was done in 25, it would be even higher. And so this is a pervasive problem. Come on, worry. We know it deals with worry and fear and all of that. And I was thinking about, you look in Scripture and even see the Apostle Peter, who'd walk with Jesus, and here he is being confronted by just a little servant girl at the crucifixion time of Christ, and he's worried, he's anxious, he's fearful. And he denies Christ three times. And so this is a pervasive issue that we all can face. All right, let's see. I got time for a couple more calls, and we're going to continue to record afterward for a show that'll air this Friday. So you're welcome to join us, 888-888-1717. Barbara, hi there. Welcome to the show. Hi there. What's your take on this thing of worry? Hello, are you there, Barbara? All right. I think you may be struggling a little bit there. I'll let you talk to Stephen. Let me go to Tina. Tina's in Michigan. Whoa. Hey there, Tina.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your question?
I have a question for you more so.
Okay.
I've struggled with worry for a very long time, and I've turned it over to God. It always creeps itself back in. However, my question is more about the line in which, where's the line between concern and worry? Because there is a lot to be concerned about in this world. There's a lot of evil going on, and there's a lot of things that are just disturbingly evil. So, those things are a concern. And, you think about those for your family and the world in general. But where is that line between concern and worry?
Yeah, I think that's a really fair question. I'm going to put you on hold with the background noise. Tina, I know you can hear me, though. The way I approach this is to ask myself the question, is what I'm thinking about, worried about, do I have any control over? If I do have some control over it, meaning there's something that I can do to make it better, then I need to do something. Now, I got to be careful then, too, not to say that I'm going to be the full responsible party to make everything better, okay? Let me give a really practical example. If I'm concerned about my children, and they're adult children raising their own kids, and I'm concerned about something, and if I feel like there's an opportunity to speak into their life in a positive way or contribute in some positive way, my goal should be to ask for permission to do that. You know, guys, I see something. Would it be okay if I offered an observation as your dad? And if they say no, which they don't because they love their dad, but they might just say, let's entertain his thoughts and let it go in one ear and out the other. But dad feels better afterward, okay? I'm just being very transparent. That's me. To be able to share that, to the extent that I can do something positive, I should do it in a healthy way. But understanding that there are things that move into the area of influence, into the area where I can pray, where I can do something, but it's not going to be anything that I'm going to change the outcome personally. This is in God's hand. And even the things I do have, quote, control over, still in God's hands. I can be responsible for the inputs, but not the output. Now, I don't know if I answered your question, Tina, but I think asking the question, all right, I see something going on. Do I have any control? To what extent should I do something? Like the serenity prayer I just said, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to do and change the things that I can, and then here's the line, and knowing the wisdom to know the line between the difference. And that really gets back to this thing of trusting God, which isn't always easy because we want to do it ourselves. I know some of you don't wrestle with this. Some of you are listening and saying, you just need more faith. You just need to be a better Christian. Come on. And we got some really good Christians here, people who love the Lord and still struggle with this stuff. But we need to continue to grow, and we're asking the right questions. How do we grow? All right, Christy's on the line in Michigan. You're right in the middle of it, Christy. Share with us what's going on.
Well, I lost my husband a week ago today.
I'm sorry.
And I'm good. It was a hard 3 weeks because we never saw it coming. But he'd be good, then he'd be bad, and you get your hopes up, and then it was just a real roller coaster. But toward the end, I gave him to God. I I've never given 100% and actually stayed with it, but I gave them to God, and I know that. And toward the end, I asked him, I said, are you scared? And he pointed to his chest, and then he pointed to heaven. Mm. And I said, so you know that God is with you. And he nodded yes. And that helped me a lot, because we are very faithful people. We're very active in our church, but I'm happy. I almost wonder if I shouldn't be this content, but my family has rallied around me. I'm living with my daughter now, and they're treating me like a queen, and I'm happy, and I'm filled with God's peace.
Mm. Well, that's really important, and I am so pleased and thankful that's where you are right now as you start this grief process. But I think you also had the caveat that you put out there that, hey, this doesn't even seem quite real. So don't be surprised if some of that you're experiencing now that feels very peaceful may become a little more difficult as the grief process and the change in your life and your pattern and all the friends and family leave and you're there on your own dealing with things. And I would encourage you, if that happens, which likely could at some extent, that's not an indication that, hey, I'm losing my faith or something's wrong with me. But you keep coming back to the truth. My husband knew his relationship with God. He was at peace. That gives me peace knowing where he is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that in the months ahead, you're not going to have times of worry about practical things. Now, what do I do? You know, what do I do with the paperwork and the finance and the family? You know, I don't want to give you a bunch of lists here because those things are just part of the practicality of living today. And many of you listening are probably thinking the same thing. You've been through where Christy is right now, and you're thankful for that great story, but know there's realities because every day is a brand new day. And that's why this lesson from Philippians chapter 4, really starting at verse 6 and going all the way down to verse 9, should be practiced daily on the good days and on the worry days in our lives. But pray for Christy, all right? Pray for her in this healing time in her life, loss and grief. All right, we're wrapping up the show. If you want to join in, we're going to record for Friday. And the question really is it's very simple. How are you being intentional with worry or anxiety in your life? And or what verse has God taught you you're learning from? Let's get intentional together. That's the goal. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. Thanks for being a part of it. 888-888-1717 is our number. And we are all a ministry of Intentional Life Media.